Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, great to be with you. Big day in Philadelphia sports. Obviously, the Sixers Heat tonight, playoffs. Hopefully, the Sixers win it and can get to the Knicks. And by the way, a Sixers-Knicks series would be fun. I mean, they haven't played the New York Knicks in a playoff series.
Up and down on the train.
35 years. Yeah, up and down the train. That's right. So, but you got to get through Jimmy Butler to make that happen. Flyers, obviously, got nothing happening. They lost last night. Now, hopefully it's a bright future, but they got to get a lot better players. But they, I think, blew a, you know, obviously a real chance to make the playoffs. Howie a little snippy yesterday. And then also the story Ree was just talking about with Bill Belichick and ESPN's reporting. So let's get to a little bit more of it. I'm going to read right from the story just to give people context here. So, you know, earlier in the story, ESPN.com had reported that the Eagles were interested enough in Belichick to talk to him. And so let me pick it up where they pick it up at this point, this ESPN story. It says there was chatter in league circles that Philadelphia and Belichick could be a match. Despite some owners and executives believing the game had passed Belichick by, the Eagles felt he still had his fastball. He had nearly beaten them in the 2023 season opener with an inferior team. There's also a belief that Belichick will coach only until he gets 15 more wins, enough to pass Don Shula as the winningest coach in NFL history. Though not seriously considered a move, Lurie wondered to a confidant, was it worth overhauling the building, changing personnel and philosophies on everything from training staff to salary cap structure for someone who might coach for only 2 years? Here's a quote. "You'll have to start all over again," said a source with firsthand knowledge of the Eagles' thinking. Back to the source in a quote. "Who would replace him? He hasn't had a good record of developing coaches. They were afraid that he'll have changed everything and every person, and then you'll be starting from scratch again. He didn't demand those things, but they felt like if we hire him, we have to give everything to him and trust how he does it." It's fascinating. Makes a lot of sense on a lot of levels. You know, if you're going to turn it over to him, but he's going to be out the door after 2 years, is that worth it?
And it didn't help in there that it seems very clear Kraft badmouthed him to anybody who called about him. That's in different parts of the article.
Yeah.
It's why Blank, he thought he was getting hired by the Falcons. He was shocked. But apparently Kraft really badmouthed him to Arthur Blank.
I think the biggest problem is Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones and offense. You know, in today's world where offense really runs the world and the rules of the game are tailored to make sure that stays, you know, in place. Bill Belichick treated offense like it was discardable. Like, he, you know, made Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator, into an offensive coordinator for his new young quarterback, Mac Jones. Basically, it feels like Bill Belichick broke Mac Jones, took Matt Patricia, made him an offensive coordinator in the process, sort of broke Matt Patricia.
Well, there's also, I hear you, but there's also a chance he just had a bad run for 3 or 4 years.
I understand.
Picking players. Like, his talent stunk.
Well, that's completely separate. Like,
that might be the heart of the matter of that offense you're referring to.
I think the
heart of the matter is relationships. Like, what Rhea's referring to, I think the bigger thing is age and relatability to people in the building.
He clearly can't relate to anyone at this point. That's for sure.
They already had that in Chip Kelly.
But
like, why would they go back to that?
Yeah, he's so smart. Well, like,
because he's an amazing coach.
Because the first game of the year, he almost beat us with the scheme, and that did set up that
scheme
for the year that everyone was using. He is brilliant. There's no questioning that. But he's so arrogant. That's the problem. When you make a defensive coordinator into your offensive coordinator, when you take Mac Jones and do what you did to him, it feels like it's bordering on arrogance, and that's what scares everyone away.
By the way, I just want to make sure, because, you know, you can comment on this Belichick thing, but Bryce Harper also homered last night, right?
He sure did,
buddy. It did happen, right?
Yes.
First time in a little bit of a time. Let's make sure we hear it again.
Kinley kicks the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, hit deep, right field, and that is gone. A laser into the lower seats in right field, and Bryce Harper ends his home run drought with a bullet home run to right. 5-0 Phillies.
All right, obviously all these topics on the board. I mean, to say the least, the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Eagles, this is a unique intersection of all four teams truly being discussed here. What do you got on any of it? Let's get to Ken and Cinnaminson. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Super, Ken.
Hey, Joe, when I'm together with you guys next time, whenever that is, I'll tell you my Molly Ringwald story when I hit on her one time. So.
Okay.
Whoa!
What year?
I think it was 1996.
Wow. Was she receptive?
Okay.
That's a no.
Ken, I've seen you. If I was a woman, I wouldn't be receptive.
Oh, man.
All right. All right.
Wow.
Wow. All right. That harsh.
And this is coming from a toad right here. Trust me. I know. All right.
She's taller than you might think. I will say that. But, on Belichick, real quick, I'll just say this. 84-103 without Tom Brady as his quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, let's just pump the brakes a little bit. I think we're nervous about the wrong thing tonight in terms of the Sixers. You're nervous about Jimmy Butler. What you should be nervous about in a one-game, you know, basically play-in game is Eric Spoelstra being the other team's head coach. I mean, that to me is more imposing than, you know, a 34-year-old Jimmy Butler. You know, he can only will so much out of his 34-year-old body.
Look, Spoelstra is great. I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And I think he's a truly great coach. I really believe that. So, yes, that is a concern. Look, Ken, the flip side of that is hopefully it's the first time where the Sixers have a coach that is near his level. I don't know that Nick Nurse is. I don't know. I got to see a little bit more to know. But I do think Nick Nurse is a clear upgrade on what's been here.
On Howie's press conference yesterday, I think part of the frustration with all of this is that there's this underlying belief around here that everybody's convinced that there's some kind of a smoking gun when it relates to Hassan Reddick. And look, obviously the tea leaves were there about what the Eagles might be doing with Hassan Reddick going back to last year, going back to last summer. I'm not going to rehash all that, if you think about the number of Eagles players who have ever publicly complained about their compensation and been brought back, you know, it's so. I think part of it
Ken, why is Josh Sweat back on a 1-year deal, and Hassan Reddick is not back on a 1-year deal?
Josh Sweat took a pay cut to be back on.
And
a
he's
1-year
and he's a lesser player.
Well, yeah, and he's also he also took a pay cut.
That's right.
He's cheaper. So obviously, you know, they feel like that with Vic Fangio in the building, and let's be real clear, if the Eagles hadn't had to wait until after the Super Bowl to hire coordinators after 2022, Vic Fangio would have been the Eagles defensive coordinator last year, right? So that's part of the whole thing.
All right, Ken, give us a four here. This is for the Aerosmith tickets. What do you got?
Well, he was my favorite Flyer as a young guy, last hockey player I remember to see wearing a horse collar. And his number hangs in the rafters at Wells Fargo Center. Barry Ashford.
You got it, buddy. Barry, it's funny. My first thought was Mark Howell.
I thought Mark Howell, too.
Mark
I was like,
was
no, he's number two. Yeah,
number
yeah.
two, yeah.
I like the sound of that. The horse collar and the hockey player.
There you go. There you go.
All right, so the Reddick thing's been referenced a number of times through the show. Let's listen to the first moment when Howie Roseman was asked about Hassan Reddick yesterday, it's really the second where borderline fireworks began. But let's start with the initial thing when he's first asked about Hassan.
First time talking to you since the Hassan Reddick trade, I guess, what went into this, the decision to move on from a player that's still reasonably in their prime, and how hard will it be to make up for that production?
Great player. You know, Hassan had a great 2 years in Philadelphia, obviously. You know, Camden kid, played at Temple. Couldn't have been more excited to sign him. So it's bittersweet to lose a player and a person like that. You know, as the offseason went along and we added Bryce, who we're incredibly excited about, brought back Josh, drafted Nolan Smith in the first round. BG came back. We have some young guys at that position who we're excited to develop. You know, and through the conversations with the Jets, we felt like it was a win-win situation, but always hard to get rid of players and people like Hassan.
Right, other than the win-win thing, a fine answer. I mean, fine. I mean, whatever. But the win-win thing kind of hangs out there. Dave Uram, who works, you know, for us here at Odyssey, noticed the win-win thing and, you know.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode, and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Led in with that as a follow-up question. Now, technically, the wording of his question, technically inaccurate. The Eagles traded Hassan for a draft pick that has a condition that could become a different pick. He calls it a conditional pick. Make of it what you will. Howie makes a lot of those words, and I think Howie was, frankly, out of line with being this nitpicky. Here's the exchange that followed.
Follow up on Hassan, you referred to it as bittersweet and a win-win. What do you think the upside is for trading Hassan for the conditional pick a couple of years down the line?
Well, the pick's not conditional. We're getting a pick, so I don't really think I understand the question.
It's a third round from a second round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what do you think the upside is for trading Hassan with a year left in his deal in his prime for the pick that you've got?
Well, I think you're asking a question in a vacuum without all the other factors. So, I mean, if we want to talk about all the factors that go into building the team and the resources that we put into each position, we can do that. But I don't think the question's really fair and accurately describes the transaction.
There's so many things in that answer ridiculous. Like, I don't understand
the
question.
So please accurately describe the transaction.
Said it's not a fair question? Like, are you serious?
Come on. Come on, Howie. Come on, man.
I mean, it's just, it really bothered me. I said it's the worst Howie answer I remember, personally.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was so out of line. It was, everyone says a conditional pick. All you have to do is be like, well, technically it's actually a draft pick with conditions. Then answer the freaking question.
So is it a pet peeve? Like, does this just set Howie off behind closed doors?
I think he knows that people are mad about
correct.
It.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think that he's coming in a little bristly about
correct.
It.
Absolutely.
And that's where it comes from.
And that's a mistake.
Well, and he's gotten a lot of positive feedback for the other moves he's done, you know, bringing Saquon in, where this one wasn't mm-hmm. received as well. So I think he gets a bit defensive.
Well, that's why they dropped mm-hmm. it on a Friday during the Phillies home opener.
Exactly, Rhea.
Yeah. Right. No, that's right. I mean, connect the dots. Let's go to Chris in Middletown. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, adults and Muppet Weasel.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, Muppet Weasel. You were talking about golfing earlier. I actually have a kind of funny golf story. So,
years ago, I will be the judge if it's funny, but give me your Richard Pryor attempt, and we'll see if it's a ha-ha or not. Go ahead.
So years ago, when I worked at a different insurance company, one of their top guys that just got elected to the Sales Hall of Fame, one of the top producing guys in the country, was out golfing.
Okay.
Well, a young guy that was an actuary was getting ready to tee off, and he thought, hey, can I hit him? And they said, ah, I think you're okay. So he tees off and crushes a ball better than he ever did before. It one skip hop and hit the sales guy right in the head, and the guy went down one like
You got to laugh out of me, Chris. No. I didn't think you were going to get a laugh out of me. You got to laugh out of me at someone's expense as the guy gets knocked out by a
golf ball. In the head.
Right. Hit him right in the head, and he immediately thought, like, first of all, oh, my God, I hope he's okay. And then he goes, oh, my God, I'm going to get fired. I just killed one of the top or just injured one of the top sales guys, and I'm just some little bean counter here actuary. So, yeah, kind of funny golf story. So
right.
Later on, they became best friends, and they still good friends over, like, 35 years later.
There you go.
Well, that's good.
All right, Chris, what do you got for us on our sports scene?
Yeah, so real quick, I'm going to run through this. Dude, the press conference, the one thing that made me want to vomit was, Nick, can you please stop kissing Howie's you-know-what? It was disgusting. That made me want to vomit. The Phils loved the fact that we scored some runs last night, but I'll take that. I'll take seven hits with four extra base hits, and we throw up a five spot. Pure dominance by Ranger. Guys, the Sixers tonight. They're going to crush them. They're going to dominate this game. Joel is going to be on fire. And you know what, Weasel? You and James are lucky. Man, I thought Richie was ready to go crush your face there for a second. You guys kept poking the beehive's nest. And he goes, no, no, no. You wait a second. I was like, uh-oh, here it comes. Fullback Richie's coming up.
Oh, he was starting to – I heard it too. All right, Chris, give me a four. What do you got?
Yeah, so here's what I'm going to give you guys. It's – a show topic many, many times, and it's an analogy that's always used. It's the Mount Rushmore.
That's a good one.
It's a big answer right there.
That's pretty good.
That's really good.
Very, very good.
It's a really good answer.
Now, there is one problem with it. What is it? There's room for a fifth.
Yeah, but there isn't.
But there isn't.
There's room for.
Get a hammer!
Come down.
Oh, God.
Come down. Just remember who's going to be
up
there.
I didn't know where you were going with
that. You got Abe. You got George. You got Thomas. You got Teddy. And in the year 2095, long after I've died, you've got.
Get a hammer!
And you know what it's going to be, Joe?
Blasphemer.
It's going to be the four, you know, huge heads, yes. And much like Allen Iverson's little statue, there'll be a little head of you.
That's pretty good, actually. I do think FDR should be up there, though. FDR instead of...
Get a hammer!
But if no FDR someday...
Get a hammer!
All right, let's go to Gary in New Jersey. Good morning, Gary. Gary, I know that's a lot to follow up on, Gary. My presidential aspirations, greatness, Lincoln comparisons, and the such. Are you speechless, Gary? He is speechless. Let's go to the sledgehammer, Mark in Collegeville. Good morning, Sledgy.
Speechless, I think, just doesn't cut it, Joe. Doesn't do it.
Disgusted?
Right.
Nauseous?
Richie Rich, how you doing, pal?
Great, Sledgling. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. So, Joe, feeling confident about Friday?
Do I feel confident about Friday? What, beat the hammer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a little... on my heels after the loss last week, but I would imagine I should be, you know, in pretty good shape.
Did you go back and try to overthrow the loss?
I listened. It was clean. It was fair.
Oh,
I lost.
So,
that must be frustrating.
Yeah, it was very frustrating. Yeah.
Are you confident enough to make a bet on it?
He kind of does every week. He puts his
himself
on the line.
Well, I'll just say this, Sledge. What do you have in mind?
Why do you want to face him, Sledge? Is that where we're going?
Well, if I get in,
Sledge, the audience.
The audience is yelling.
Yeah.
Joe, I'll let you pick the terms if you win, but if you lose, you finally get your legs waxed.
Well, I mean, first off, I wouldn't lose. Like, this whole pick the terms thing, do I get all the money you own? Like, that would be my thank you. So, do you agree with that?
You ain't going to get much, but.
Do I get it, though?
You ain't going to get much.
Yeah. Just saying, you said pick the terms. I picked the terms. Sounds like you're walking backwards there right now, Sledgy.
I don't ever
Sledge walk didn't see those terms
no,
coming. No.
Sledge. All right, Sledge, what do you got for us on the sports scene?
So on sports scenes, well, sad about the Flyers. I mean, they had promise, but, you know, you could always come over and root for my division-winning Rangers. You know, you're more than welcome. But on to the Eagles. I was talking to Spike and Ike yesterday on the draft because Howie, you know, never wants to allude to anything dealing with the draft. But first-round pick, everyone's saying to go for a guard. I don't want to go for a guard. I really like to go for that cornerback everyone's talking about that can play corner, safety, and special teams. What do you think about that?
You're talking about the DeGene guy?
Yes.
Well, he's tough. I like him. I like his attitude. The big issue with him is if you want him to cover in man as a cornerback, he's got limitations. But I love the attitude. He's like he and Sidney Brown will get along extremely well.
All right, Sledge, give me a great answer for a four. You can win Aerosmith tickets, Sledgey.
I would love to go to see it. Well, we deal with it every year, spring, summer, fall, winter,
yeah.
Four seasons.
Four seasons is a good answer.
Oh, nice.
Really is.
That
We've
is
had
a good one.
A lot of great answers today. Twitter poll question. Yeah. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new 2024 Chevy Trax, it's arriving daily at Armin Chevrolet. Starts at only $21,495. Together, let's drive is at ArminChevy.com. All right, two poll questions. The first, did the Flyers make a mistake being a buyer? Excuse me, make a mistake being a seller instead of a buyer at the trade deadline? Let me be clear. James, you and I don't normally do this. We probably did not word this question right.
Yeah, we should have said it by not, you know, they could have stood pat.
Could have stood pat.
Yeah.
We should have had, because I can understand them not being a buyer, but instead of being a seller, they could have just kept everything they had.
We should have just said, did they make a mistake being a seller? And
correct.
It would have covered everything.
Correct. So let me just say, I throw this result out. But anyway, the result was 72% said no, they did not make a mistake being a seller. 28% say they did. But again, that's instead of a buyer. If we did the question the way we should have, results probably would have been a little different. All right, John, I have in front of me the results for who wins tonight, Sixers Heat. Where do you think people are coming in on this one?
91% say Sixers.
80% say your team, your town, your 76ers, which 20% pick the Heat. We'll see. Hey, we'll talk coming up to Ryan Russillo, great NBA mind on a national level, John's buddy, his thoughts on Joel and the Sixers, how far they can go, and specifically tonight's game. We'll get to that and more up ahead, calls as well on this Wednesday morning. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, it's 94 WIP. Hey, NBA playoffs obviously upon us, and they give you the chance to win and win big this postseason with FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, new customers with FanDuel can play their way into $150. It's a spectacular deal. Just place any $5 bet. Let me repeat, any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets whether you win or lose that initial bet during the NBA playoffs. An amazing deal, a unique deal, and one exclusive to FanDuel.com/hammer. FanDuel.com/hammer. All right, big day in Philadelphia sports. The Sixers get yet another crack at the NBA playoffs with Joel Embiid. To this point, never to the conference finals. By the way, reminder, only one conference finals appearance for the Sixers since the start of the 85-86 season. Devin, how old were you in June of 1985?
I'm zero.
Nothing.
-6.
It is unbelievable how bad it has been. Although ironic when you consider the Sixers have been a good team, you know, the last half decade or so. It's another shot at, I call it the playoff. Some people call it the play-in. I call it both. It's a play-in and a playoff. It's the Sixers. It's the Heat. And from the Ringer right now, joining us from the West Coast. He was busy last night watching games deep into the night. Of course, ultimately, Klay Thompson with a zero spot. We haven't even covered that yet today. Klay entering free agency it's really kind of sad.
Unbelievable.
Because a great career, a Hall of Famer, a four-time champion, he scored 0 points last night when the Warriors got eliminated. But from the West Coast, John's buddy, of course, from the Ringer, does a great job covering the NBA. Deep dive, Sixers Heat right now with Ryan Russillo. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Ryan? Thank you for joining us. Did you sleep?
Yeah, I get to sleep. And remember, the games are over earlier. So I know you're a huge Shogun guy, so I don't want to spoiler alert.
I am a huge Shogun guy. And I appreciate sure. the non-spoiler. I cannot wait to get watching on that.
But. Ryan, it also means you're up for us at 6:30 a.m., and we appreciate that.
Yes, yeah. very much. That's, we appreciate that.
All right, so, of Ryan, course. there's like a million ways to go here, but I sort of want to start almost at the finish line because this is the question everyone's been wondering, frankly, for years now, and we'll do it again. Will this year be different for the Sixers? We'll get into the Embiid and this and that, but like, Ryan, your outlook for the 76ers as they're about to embark on this thing, is this going to be different or same old, same old?
I think it's going to be the same. And it's really unfortunate because I've said this before, but I think all of us like Embiid. All of us want to like Embiid, you know, and we know that the different stages of the season that I don't need to repeat to the local market part of it. But when he came back, he didn't look very good physically. You know, he just looked a little thicker. He looked a little slower. He looked like he wasn't that interested in defense. And then literally like a week later after a couple games, I was like, okay, you can already see a dramatic improvement, you know, just getting that conditioning back.
Sure.
And it's just tougher for a bigger guy, especially with that kind of injury. And so I'm like, this is amazing. He's putting up huge numbers. He's like, he already physically looks like a much improved version of himself just in a matter of days. And then the Orlando game, how can anybody go, no, I'm in. Like, it's going to happen with those guys. And here's the thing. Like, I think if they get tonight, which they should, and I know everybody's kind of scared of Miami and has, like, heat PTSD from last year, but they're not as good, even though last year statistically, like, they almost still didn't even make it out of the play-in game. I would think that they get them tonight, and then it's a 7-2 against the Knicks, who probably became the 2 seed because everybody else was messed up. Like, this was a really weird drive to the final line for all these teams in the East. So, okay, you get Miami.
Well, his phone just zapped out. You get Miami.
You get Miami.
We lost you there for a second, Ryan.
Ryan, go ahead. I'm sorry. We heard you say you get Miami, and then bang, you were gone like Kaiser Soze. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, like this is part of the thing of like, what is it really? Does it mean that you've improved dramatically as a team because you beat Miami? Maybe you get to the Knicks and it's like, okay, cool. And who knows? I mean, Milwaukee could be a mess. They might not have Giannis, like that whole thing. I just don't really know that the prospects are that different for this team because it's just hard to bank the Embiid that we saw in that Orlando game, even with this extra time off.
So Joel Embiid is healthier than he's been at any point in his career at this stage of the season. And now Nick Nurse is included in the equation. How much better does Nick Nurse make Joel Embiid, Ryan?
Well, Nick is awesome, okay? And I think you've probably seen that firsthand, that he just far more creative than a lot of guys. You know, for years, I think other teams had talked about him in Toronto being like, they kind of treat games like football more so than basketball and that. It's like, okay, let's try to be specific to the opponent. It's just hard to do that with 82 of these. But you're also going
amazing.
Up against the best.
It sounds
look,
perfect.
But you're also going. But you're going up against the best coach in the NBA in the Miami game. So, look, it's
so
up
how
to
does
Joel.
It compare?
Like, Joel's going to have his, if he's healthy, like he's going to have his 30 and 15 and his 7 and his free throws, and he's going to be dominant. And like, you know, we'll talk about some of these guys in matchups. It's like, oh wow, this guard is really good defensively against this player. And then it's like that player ended up with 30 because they screened the guy off him the entire time. Like, we already know what to pencil Embiid in for. It's just going to be those closing moments of, you know, how is it set up? Do they find a way to get him to the free throw and open? You know, once he has that free throw catch, it's just such an easier thing for him. Like, it's a layup, but it just seems to be harder to set it up there when everybody knows exactly where he wants to be. He's on the side. I think that's what he can get in some trouble because they run these doubles at him, and it's up to everybody else to make a shot around him.
Ryan, we had a poll result earlier this week and a poll question on, and it was phrased this way, all things considered, who would you rather have for the game, Jimmy Butler or Joel Embiid? What would be your answer for this game tonight?
I feel like I'm going to regret this just because, like, Butler has looked about as disinterested as I've ever seen him. And then, you know, we saw what he did against Milwaukee, where those are like Jordan-esque type numbers in that series. And then Boston games 1 and 2 really kind of decided that series, even though Boston came back to tie it up. I'd rather be Joel, even with the injury thing, just because of the ceiling part of it. Miami is really messed up offensively, and they're especially messed up late. Like, they haven't shown me anything in a couple weeks here where I go, oh, all right, well, that's the thing that you can bank on. Like, Butler tried to get a couple switches against Kyrie, against Dallas, and didn't work. And he's like, all right, whatever, I'm out of here. And, like, didn't take another shot to close that game, I think, with, like, 6 minutes left. If Rozier is in, you know, he can create a little bit on his own. Hero can create. But there's just not a real continuity to them offensively. And so the Butler part of it, like, I just get sick of watching him for 6 months and then have everybody be like, oh, look out for playoff Jimmy, like he's a top five guy. Like, he even fell off a bit last postseason run after an absurd start to the whole thing. So I think Embiid's ceiling makes him the choice.
Ryan Russillo with us here. Ryan, let me ask you this question. Now, the Joel thing, one of the things we've wondered for years is why he doesn't answer the bell at times. I mean, sometimes it's easy to say he's injured. But there are times like game four versus Toronto in 2019, his stomach aches. Game seven last year versus Boston. I mean, you could see it in the first quarter. You could see it on his face that he wasn't in it. Why do you think that happens to him?
He is, first of all, I agree with you on some of this, that I think it looks a little different. But I think when you look at the league and how they prioritized players and positions, and there's even like a little bit of a Wembanyama thing here where it's like, okay, but is Wembanyama like game seven of the Western Conference Finals? Like, are you running high screen, like pick and roll with Wembanyama to get him in his offense? And like, maybe you are, and that's how special he's going to be. I think for Embiid, there still needs to be like a bit of a setup to get him into what he wants to get into. And like, I've already mentioned it, like, you just know that there's a different effectiveness when it's like that catch at the free throw and he's dribbling and like, it's like, okay, I don't know what to do. And if you send a double, like, I think he just operates a little bit better there, where there are moments where he still is like a traditional big, and he isn't because we understand how incredibly talented he is. But I think there's just times where he needs to be set up to operate offensively more so than a Jokic does, more so than Luka, certainly, who's probably the best guy in the league at getting into his office, more than SGA, more than even Giannis, who just, you know, it's not so much the most elite skill. It's just at this athleticism that's at another level. So I don't know if it's a personality thing because I don't know him. I'm not around the team. But I do think that he needs to be like, his starting point needs some assistance because he's still a center. And I think that's what's happened to centers in the league.
Ryan, how much better is the rest of this Sixers team that's in place around Joel compared to previous years' postseason assemblages, you know, with Kyle Lowry now and Kelly Oubre and Buddy Hield? How much better are the rest of the Sixers, comparatively speaking?
It's funny. They've got some guys that haven't always been my favorite guys to watch. And boy, do they have a lot of them.
I'm guessing Kelly Oubre is definitely one of those dudes.
Oubre hasn't always been my favorite guy, I'll admit. But he's been incredible. Like, it, you know, at some point, there's
better
guys that are
expected,
like, all
right, right?
Cool. Yeah, like, I'll go cool month, you know. But this can't hold. And, you know, Oubre's still, like, not that old. And, you know, he's putting up almost 20 a game here, like, the last couple months. And they've needed it. You know, so I think that maybe it could be an argument of, like, hey, when Embiid was out, like, this team was not. So what are we actually talking about here? I mean, this is outside that the fact that Maxey has, for me at least, entered this territory of, like, hey, I need, like, a big-time shot. Can you give me some kind of look out of nothing? Can everything be a mess and you find a way to fix it? And I think Maxey's actually already one of those guys, and obviously scoring a factor. Campaign looks like he wants to celebrate a three that cuts the lead to nine in the second quarter.
Oh, man.
And I think Kyle Lowry should be banned.
Wow.
Banned?
Your phone just...
banned from the league.
No,
yeah.
Why is that? Your phone zapped out. All right, so banned why?
Well, I mean, there's plays where there's no chance what's happening is actually what's happening. And back to I think the refs grandfathered him in on some of these calls.
Look,
so,
we'll take him here in Philly for the next 2 months.
They'll still give us the calls in the postseason. This is great.
Yeah, if he can coax it out of a ref, I'm not complaining for 2 months. Plus, this is Philadelphia's own Kyle Lowry, Ryan. This is not the spot.
So you loved it when he did it with the Heat all those years.
I respected it. I didn't love it. I respect it. All right, Ryan. Who wins the title? And is this Boston and Denver in the title? Who wins this thing?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Denver over Boston. I just think the rest of the East is too hard to figure out. You know, Boston's this weird team because statistically their profile is like, hey, that team wins a title, and yet I think some of the criticisms are fair about some of the closing stuff and the habits they can get into, but there's still some really good numbers in there as well. When I've watched Denver and Boston, and I know Boston could have won the game in Denver with Tatum hitting that three, but like I just didn't think Boston played that well. And I think this game is kind of simple in that when it's tight and it's the playoffs and everything's junked up and everybody knows what you're doing, can you find a way offensively to get a decent look? And Jokic and I would say Doncic do that better than anybody in the league, and I like Denver's team. And I felt like when I watched those two matchups with Boston, that's really what it was. I was like, all right, so last couple minutes, like we're going to get better looks than you are because we have Jokic. And I think that's separation that's hard for Boston to close. I mean, granted, look, sports, so they're not like drastically better than them.
Yep.
But I think that part's significant, and it feels a little docky, but that's how I feel.
All right, from The Ringer, of course, the podcast with The Ringer, and just a tremendous career, Ryan Russillo. Ryan, we appreciate you jumping on the program today. Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
right, there
Ryan.
He is.
The greatest.
All right, back to the phones. Time's yours in a few minutes. Ron in Pottstown right now. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Joe, how you doing today?
Ron, we just got a national perspective that smacked John Ritchie down and told him to temper his expectations.
He said, how could you possibly believe?
And that came from one of John's good friends. You don't listen to me.
Wow.
Don't listen to us. But, you know, Ryan Russillo says that maybe John will believe him. Look, I hope Ryan's wrong.
Way off.
There is a chance the Sixers
sure
could do this
stuff.
But, you know. All right, Ron, go ahead, buddy. What do you got today?
You were saying earlier about Jay Leno and Letterman. I never get to sit in the first row for anything, but I did get to sit in the first row for Jay Leno.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's it. I actually got to stand next to Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Jeez.
And,
wow.
Boy,
did you talk to her at all?
No. She just stood shoulder to shoulder. I stood shoulder to shoulder with her, Joe. And, boy, she's a big woman. And, boy, is she slapped together.
I don't know how to respond to this. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if big is a compliment
that.
Or not a compliment.
Just no. She was very muscular. I was surprised how muscular she was. Wow. She could be like on a SWAT team. For L.A.
Right.
Water.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, Catherine.
I did not realize
she was really,
that.
Really impressive. But I was going to talk about baseball. I was watching the Phillies last night, and, you know, being old and stuff, I still love baseball, but this week was Jackie Robinson week, and there's nothing good about being old, really. There's nothing. It's horrible. Horrible being old. But I was lucky enough to grow up in the 60s, and I was thinking about Jackie Robinson week. And one of the great things about growing up in the 60s is was all the black players in the 60s that I had the chance to see play. God, they had so many great players.
Ron, I know where you're going. At least I think I do. Look, the NBA and the NFL, there's no doubt there's a lot of African-American youth that have gravitated to basketball and football, and that lends itself to a lot of black players playing in the pros in those sports and less in baseball these days. There's no question.
And I looked at the Phillies. I look around at the Phillies. You see all the white faces.
It's all of baseball. It's not just, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's
what it
is. Baseball. Right. And I think it's like 4% might be in the Major League Baseball of African-American players.
Listen, Ron, that's why when you hear of a program that, you know, donates balls and bats and gloves to inner-city kids, that's what that's about. That's about trying to get – you know, kids in inner city, more access to baseball. Look, it's also not the easiest sport to field. Like, you don't have pickup baseball. It's hard to get eight. Hey, let's get
too many guys.
My 18 guys together and let's go play a baseball game. Like, that's hard to do.
And so, you need gloves and a bat and all. Whereas a basketball is a basketball. Football is a football. I mean, I know you need to tackle and stuff if you're going there. But
so, you know, Ron, I echo your sentiments. I too wish it was obviously more diversified.
So what about the idea of like they do in the Latin American countries, the Phillies, like in Venezuela, they had an academy. Why can't they do something like that in the inner cities? Kids who would like to try to go to an academy who have an interest in baseball.
I don't know. I mean, we got schools. There's certain programs. It is what it is in that regard. All right, Ron, give me an answer. You can win the Aerosmith tickets. Give me a four.
How about, Okay, how about the song Four Sticks by Led Zeppelin?
You got it, my man. How about that? How about just Led Zeppelin?
I was going to say, or could have gone album for Led Zeppelin. Yeah.
I like that. All right, with that, let's do what we do every single day at this time. All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Discover the nation's best-kept secret and switch to Xfinity Mobile, now at the best price for two lines of unlimited. Let's hit it with time's yours.
I'm going to give a quick shout-out to our Philadelphia Flyers. It was promising, it was disappointing, but it was more promising and disappointing. Black and Orange is back. Thank you to Jonesy, Greer, Tortorella, and the Black and Orange fans. Thank you. What a season.
Hey, dude, it's the orange and black. It's not the black and orange. It's the orange and black. Let's just get that right to start. There was some good this year. Look, I'm telling you, the end to me is a more defining thing than how it went for the first 70 games, but you make of it what you want.
Awesome job, Ranger. You clearly are a diamond in the rough. Great job, Flyers. Even though the 8-game losing streak at the end showed you, there's nowhere to go but up. And lastly, Sixers, finish the job. Time's yours.
Well, yeah. Look, they got a long way to go. They got to start the job, but I hope so, too. We'll see.
Hey, Joe, that 107 yesterday, very good. Hey, I know a fellow that needs some help with his golf game. You know, this guy finished last at the Masters and is looking for a new teacher. Say the word, and I'll get you hooked up with Tiger. Put him back on his game.
Listen,
wow, that is what an affront. Talk about effrontery to Tiger. I mean, that's
correct.
So rude. Like, what do we just do?
For Tiger to get lessons from me.
Yes.
Although, if he wants to pay me, I'll gladly leave the show.
You can afford it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll take some of Tiger's money, sure.
Ruben, you might have been a bonehead in the past or a tool, but you will always be delicious.
You look delicious.
That's phenomenal. And there it is. With that,
thank you.
We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, let's get to David. David calling from Plymouth Meeting. Good morning, David.
How are you guys? Good
Doing
to talk
well.
To you.
Thanks. You
I
too,
just want to show. I just want to show Ranger some utter fantastic love. Last night was great. It was just beautiful.
Tremendous.
It made me so happy. You know, I grew up watching Steve Carlton, and man, Rangers game last night was great.
David, if you would indulge me for one moment, hang on one second.
Yeah.
Ranger. Suave. Cuando tienes ganar un partido, Ranger, the man you want as your amigo.
There you go. Well,
nice addition to the board there.
Thank you.
That's good work. Yeah.
Thank you.
I love
it. Go to JoeConklin.com. That's Joe Conklin right there. Get yourself to JoeConklin.com.
JoeConklin.com!
All right, go ahead, David. I'm sorry, buddy.
The other thing was, you were talking yesterday about how amazing heart transplants are.
Yes, sir.
I had one. I had one 3 years ago.
Did you really?
Wow.
I did. I did. And just the idea, like you were saying, they took out my heart and put in a new one. And it's just wild. It's just so incredible to think that we can do that.
David, do you feel noticeably different now? Can you remember the way that you felt? I mean, is there any difference physically with a different heart in your chest?
Huge difference.
Wow.
Huge difference.
Wow.
I mean,
how do you describe the difference? What feels different?
My whole body is alive in a way that it wasn't. I mean, all of my organs, they weren't getting the oxygen they need. My whole body was just shutting down.
Oh, yeah.
And
wow.
it's just, I mean, for 10 years, it was a steady decline, and I'm just a different person. I'm just,
it's amazing.
It's incredible.
Good for you, man.
Wonderful.
Incredible.
David, you ever watch the movie Return to Me? It's about a heart transplant?
No.
You should watch it, man.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's
out.
Good. Got David Duchovny and Minnie Driver. It's a good movie. All right.
Oh, nice.
All right, David, we got to turn too quickly here, man. Give us a four.
My favorite moment in baseball, the Grand Slam.
Oh, the Grand Slam.
Answer.
That's another one. All right, we got to come up with a winning answer. We've had big answers.
I think it's Mount Rushmore.
I don't necessarily. Mount Rushmore's big. Four seasons.
Four seasons was good.
Four horsemen.
Awesome.
Like
the
that.
Four characters in Seinfeld. 4th of July. calling out four when you're golfing and you hit an errant shot. Fourth and 26. John, what do you think?
I like the four in golf, too. Fourth and 26 is
You
amazing.
Love the number four, man. You really do.
Devin, what do you think?
Ooh. I like the four in golf because it's, like, fun to just yell four.
Yep, it is.
So might have to go with that
Rhea,
one.
What do you got?
Four, so, yeah, it's either that
I'm voting Mount Rushmore.
Or
well,
the
you're,
Grand
you're done,
Slam.
James. Rushmore's
yeah, the Grand
out.
Slam was good.
I thought that was fun. That was unique.
All right, so Grand Slam's good.
That is really good.
Yeah.
I like Grand Slam also.
I like
I'm
the,
open
I
to
like
a
the
Grand
Four
Slam.
Horsemen.
I think, jeez.
Because
what
okay.
was the line
anyone.
All those years ago?
It's
death,
in the Bible,
death, death and petulance and what
yeah,
were the
Yeah, we got
things?
The Four Horsemen. That is pretty
Famine.
Official.
Famine.
It's dark, though. Like, what, it's not
dark.
A very
yeah,
fun
it's what
answer.
The Sixers are bringing to the Heat tonight.
Death,
death.
Pestilence,
yeah, weird
famine,
spin on that.
And
yeah, let's
I vote against
there.
That one. I vote against the Four Horsemen.
I'm with James on this one. It's all a little dark.
It is, yeah, awful to think about.
All right, you went to Four Seasons, 4th of July, or the Grand Slam? We're four!
Grand Slam.
Fine.
Grand Slam.
Grand Slam is great.
Yeah. All right, congrats to David. Last answer is the winning answer. Have a great
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.